Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm calling, I'm talking to you from South Africa. My buddy Bill, what happened to your eye?
Just a brujitsu, as I call it. A little blue belt gave me a knee.
Dude, why do you do well against the black belts and the blue belt submit you? Like, what kind of backwards?
No, he didn't submit me. It was like he was, on the bottom and his knee, It's not like, how it is, black eyes. It doesn't really hurt, but like 3 days later, you look like you were in a fucking war.
It looks like, now, were you trying, you were on top, he was on bottom, and he was on his back, or he was on his stomach?
Yeah, no, he was on his back, and he just, there's, obviously everyone knows, you just have less control when you're like a blue belt. I think you don't really get control until you're a brown belt. I think until then you're a spaz.
So he was trying to get up, he kneed you in the face?
Whatever, he's trying to sweep me, or he's trying to just make it. I might have had my head down too low.
Yeah,
fine. It was completely unintentional.
How could his knee get all the way to your eye?
Because I was trying to suck his dick. Okay. If I'm being honest, I was trying to get down there. By the way, jiu-jitsu, it does seem very gay at times. Obviously.
Oh, it's especially when you come. But...
Well, the worst is when you try to come and don't. That's even gayer.
Man, dude, the worst is that when you go against girls that are hot and you have to I remember when I would wrestle a guy, you end up with your hand in his ass or all kinds of weird places, but you don't even think about it. But then when it's a girl, you notice it. You notice that your hand is you're like, I don't know. It is what it is, and eventually it comes. But did you ever have that issue?
Well, one time I rolled with a girl at Hanzo Gracie's who was really hot, and I ended up having a date with her. But it felt like when I asked her out, it felt like, am I me tooing her because we'd rolled together? Is that kind of like a weird? I always like rolling with, here's what I hate about rolling with women. They always say the same thing. Don't go light.
Yeah.
Don't treat me like a woman. And I remember I did that one time and I was with this little Asian woman and we were rolling and I turtled up. And you know this wrestling move, obviously. And I kind of clamped her wrist down with my arm and I just kind of rolled over to reverse her. And she went flying, when she hit the mat. And everybody in the dojo stopped and looked at me. I was visiting and looked at me like, you fucking asshole. I'm like, she told me not to. And all I did was just a simple body roll,
Yeah, I once had a girl say, don't go light. So then I just cross-faced her. And then she's like, you out-muscled me. I'm like, you can't have it both ways. It's either don't 100%. Go light. But but anyway, so here I am. I'm in South Africa. And it's been awesome. It was so Russell Peters brought me on his trip. I got here on, I don't know what, I left on Sunday. So I got here, we went first to Dubai and then from Dubai to here. And it Russell traveling with him, I'm in business class, first I'm in business class to Dubai, which is pretty much the same as first class. And especially on these long trips, on a 13-hour flight, dude, it was a bed. It rolled down to a bed.
Is it Emirates? Are you Emirates? What aircraft?
Emirates.
What airline?
And the lady was
they're the best.
The lady was like, would you like me to make your bed? I was like, what? And then they give you pajamas. They get way nicer pajamas than I ever had. And so then I was having the time of my life. I don't want to get off the flight. I'm like, dude, this is better than my regular. So they come over and the meals are just unbelievable. And then, so then we had the night in like Dubai, which was awesome. And then Russell moved me up to first class from Dubai to South Africa. And you get to close it. It's like, you actually get to close it. Like you have your own port in there. And yeah. It was awesome. I watched The Equalizer. Never seen The Equalizer. And the TV is like huge, like bigger than my TV in my house.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it was, that was pretty cool. And then we're staying, yeah. And I'm staying at this like, you know, 5-star hotel.
Of course. I can tell behind you. I'm like, how big is your fucking room?
2 weeks ago, I was at a Super 8. I'm not kidding. I was literally in a Super 8 in Arkansas. And the guy tries telling me, oh, don't worry. It's a high-end Super 8. I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess the roaches.
Super 8 Plus.
Yeah, the roaches are well-fed. Like, what are we talking? Dude, it was... That's where I was 2 weeks ago. Like my room, the lights didn't turn on. I had to go downstairs to get the guy to fix my lights. And now I'm in like this. I have an ocean view, literally ocean view, infinity pool. It's just, I gotta say, I think McCorkle came, saw what I'm talking about. I was like, fuck this. I'm like leaving.
Where in South Africa are you right now?
I'm in Durban, South Africa, which I didn't even know. I didn't even know the history of South Africa because I didn't realize that, like, yeah, it's like 40% Indian, right? And I was like, why?
Really?
Why are there so many Indians here? Like, oh, they were brought over during slavery. I'm like, I didn't even know that Indians were brought over during slavery, but I guess they were called indentured workers. So it was like they give you $5 for 5 years or something. And me, like an idiot, I'm like, why didn't they just tell their friends to not come? But I guess it was like once you're here, you're fucked. And I'm learning about the culture because you know apartheid ended like in 96 or something or 94, like pretty early ago. And they were telling me about the beaches. And you know, when you think of apartheid, like I always thought like black and white, you know, obviously separate black and white, but I didn't realize that they were like, yeah, the white people had the huge beaches for white people. And then the black people had like this much space for like way more black people. And then the Indians had their beach. Right? Because I didn't even know they divided it that way. And then they had other. If you're like a mix, you're in the other beach. And then the Chinese had their beach. And then the Japanese could go to the white beach. And people are coming over and asking you for your passports at all times and to prove what you are. And if you're on the wrong beach, you get arrested. And I was like, oh, damn.
That is insane. I remember when I was there, they had, you have black, colored, and white. You don't have black and white. You have black or colored or white. So there are a lot of people that are light skinned that are considered colored, but not black.
Sean, I'm talking about South Africa.
What are you guys talking about, Mississippi?
Coming in hot. No, I'm talking about.
Where's that at? South Africa?
I'm in South Africa. I'm in Durban, South Africa. And I was telling them, like, it's a huge Indian population. I'm like, why? Like, oh, they were brought over during slavery. The Indians were. they were called indentured workers. They weren't called slaves, but like, pretty much the. And then they were. I didn't realize that, like, the segregation.
Can you imagine brought to Africa to be a slave? And you're like, well, any of the places got to be better than here. And then they come get you from Africa and take you to the United States. Like, damn it, again. Got us again.
you keep getting fooled. But I was telling Bill when it came to apartheid, I always considered, you know, black and white people separated. But I can tell me the beaches, they had like the black beaches had like no space. The white beach had tons of space. And then there was an Indian beach. Then there was a Chinese beach. And then there was Japanese beach. But the Japanese could go with the white people. And then there was the other beach, and everything is just divided. So
you were like, what type of joke can I make about this?
Yeah, what kind? Yeah, right. So that was So I mean, we have our first show tomorrow night. Pretty excited about that. And then they were talking about. I was like, you know, I was in North Africa. And I, you know, when I was there in Djibouti, they were said like 95% of the people had like AIDS, like the locals. And they said it was a huge problem here too. But there's basically whole generations that are like missing. So, Yeah.
It's what happens when you put it in Djibouti.
Oh, my God. I knew that was coming. No pun intended.
Oh, God. And then, yeah, so that's that. So we had our wrestling match last week. We had our big tournament. We came in fourth place out of four teams.
Not bad.
Fourth out of four?
But no podium. I think it's fourth out of 14.
Yeah, four teams. We came in fourth.
Four teams. I think it said 14.
No. Four teams. Like four. we did have four kids in like the finals, but like one of the girls in the finals, so I was so happy because she was like quitting like 3 days before. I had to talk her into going to practice. She was just like, her brother wrestled and she was mad about her brother getting all the attention. So she wrestled. But yeah, I could tell she didn't really like wrestling. Her and this boy were always talking the whole time. I'm pretty sure they're dating. And I had to separate them. And, you know, they could both got mad at me. But she made the finals. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, you excited? I'm like, you think you? I'm like, well, we're going to win, right? She's like, doubt it.
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am, okay? And Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Now, number two, number one, it can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Ew. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. Got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day and check out Factor right now.
Oh, and then, man. We did okay. We had four kids make the finals. One kid won. So it was funny though, because this kid's, her dad, like she got mad. He was like, dude, if I say the wrong thing, she won't talk to me for 3 days. This is what the father told me. And I was like, man, how do I get my wife on that program? but we did good, man. I mean, look, at this age, it's just about not burning them out. Introducing, we only get, you know, we only get 2 hours a week to practice. We get one hour a day, Mondays and Wednesdays. The other team practices 5 days a week, 4 days a week for 2 hours. So we're just up against it. But yeah. So anyway, what else could I say? McCorkle, where have you been the last 2 weeks?
Oh, heck, what have I been doing? I've been suffering. That's what I've been doing. So, yeah, man, it's, you know, once my back was pretty much not fixed, but much better, then I decided I would just taper off everything really fast. And that's a great idea. So, I've just
taper
been
off suffering. What? What do you mean taper off?
Anything that was helping my back not hurt for 12 years. So, it's not much fun, man. I don't even take Advil for it. I'm just tired of it all. I'm not taking anything for it anymore. And I got another surgery in 3 more weeks. And I was on a massive amount of pain medicine for years. So it's apparently your body doesn't like it when you don't want to do that anymore. So.
Oh man, so you're going through withdrawals? Can't sleep?
Just uncomfortable, man. It's just uncomfortable. It's I don't know. I've never done drugs in my life for fun, like ever. No, I've never done cocaine, never done heroin, never done anything. Molly, nothing. Like, I don't, and that's what cracked me up when the rumor was I was a drug addict. I'm like, really? Because I started taking pain pills after I have the most horrific back injury of all time. That made me a drug addict, you know? So, but I'm enjoying sticking it in everybody's face that, oh God, yes, I'm not a drug addict after all, because as soon as my back was fixed, I don't have to take anything anymore, you know? So yeah, it's amazing, you know, how fast I quit being the hardcore drug addict I allegedly was. So, but yeah, no, it's just like, it's an uncomfortable transition. And I got some idiot kids. I got a guy to sell me a $20,000 dog for like $2,000. It's a long story. He needed money, and I just went ahead and bought his $20,000 dog because I knew I loaned him the money, I would just have the dog, you know?
Right.
Because yeah, he wouldn't be able to pay me back, and that was his collateral. So I was kind of like running my own pawn shop. And so he couldn't pay me back. And then apparently he also sold that dog to someone else on payments, like some 17 or 18 year old kid who decided it was my fault that I have the dog. And he didn't care about the guy that sold it to him on payments and whatever's going on there. And so they've been spamming all my social media 24 hours a day. What they didn't realize is I have far more time on my hands than they do. like they have no idea what they've stepped in. I don't want to say any of it on here, but they have no, well, they're getting an idea today what they stepped in, but yeah, it is.
Can you imagine? I gave them Sparkle's the person you picked the fuck with. Like,
I know. Do they know anything about you?
That's based. That's like,
yeah,
like,
well,
John Kreese from The Karate Kid. Like, that's like picking that guy.
I warned them ahead of time. I said, hey, listen, this is a real bad idea. Just leave it alone. I'm telling you, like, leave it alone. They didn't. I said, okay, get ready. And then I'll tell you guys off air the things that have happened already just today. So there'll be several three-letter government officials visiting them and their families over the next couple weeks. So,
dude, McCorkle told me that, like, he had enemies growing up, and he, like, got them all fired from their jobs, kicked out of colleges, and it wasn't like the stories at the end weren't like, oh, but now we're friends. Like, they just ended.
Like, no, I'm still looking for them trying to ruin their next job. Like, I had a guy went to a Christian school in my whole high school life, went to a Christian school, and this pastor that was the new pastor there after I was already gone for 15 years sends me a message and tells me I'm going to hell, and he's disgusted that I ever went to that school with the example I am now, and I need to turn my life back around or whatever. And so then I immediately posted on my Facebook page, because I'm friends with a lot of people, I will give $5,000 to anybody that will give me information that will get that new pastor fired. Anybody.
Whoa.
That has it. And then people, I start asking everybody to retweet it, put his name on Twitter. I put everybody. Some guy hits me up. He goes, well, he's banging my wife. Is that good enough?
And, whoa.
He said, I actually have a video of him going in my house, and I have the emails, me and my wife, and, you know, arguing back and forth about it. So I sent him to me, and I sent him to that pastor, and he begged me to keep him quiet. I said, okay, I will. But I already told the whole congregation, already emailed every single person that goes to that church, the whole board of the church, everything. He lost his job that day, and I asked him how it worked out for him. His name was Dan Pride. So you don't have a lot of pride now, do you, buddy? But I got him fired. Then he moved to Florida and tried to get another job down there, and I followed him down there and got him not able to get that job either. And then he disappeared because I got on Jesse Parsley or somebody else that made me mad. So
no, there's people that, like, my wife's like, I can't believe this guy's doing this to me, blah blah. I'm like, listen, I'm not gonna pull my McCorkle card yet, you know. But I go, just so you know, Bree, if anyone ever fucks with you, there's a couple people that I know in this world, and McCorkle's one of them. of like, that would be, you know.
I don't know if it's anything to be proud of, but I have such creative ways to. It's unbelievable. It comes to me. It's like an evil genius. Like, it comes to me. I'm like, you know what would really suck is if somebody made an anonymous tip that said this. You know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just swatting somebody or something like that. Like, it's stuff that, like, or I don't know, if someone put an ad on a Craigslist, I've heard this has been done before, that says free buy curious massage. Just come knock three times and put someone's address on there. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. And they just have gay guys come knock on their door. All
that
day,
happened. Happened before War Machine went crazy. Well, before he went as crazy as you had, we had him on the podcast, and I was like, how's it going? He's like, terrible. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, somebody put my address, and they've been ordering gay hookers to my house all day.
There's what's funny is I don't really have to do anything. I just say, man, I wish this guy would stop messing with me. I had somebody called one time every 10 seconds of their work for 3 days till they got fired. They'd been there 10 years. People were just kept calling and asking for them. They had to go get them each time, like on a thing, and just kept calling and calling and calling, but they shouldn't have pressed their luck. So,
by the way,
so Sean, why don't you monetize this? You should like make this a business. You're like the equalizer for the internet.
Yeah. Like Norm MacDonald, dirty work.
I did
hire an Indian guy last night to do some of my stuff, which was awesome because he tried to sell me Viagra. I was like, no, but I'll send you some money on Cash App if you want to do something for me. And so he got some stuff done for me too. So it's amazing.
Dude,
I'm outsourced in other countries.
For some reason, I'm on these lists now where like Indian people call me to websites, and I know it's some because whenever I pick up the phone, you hear boop boop. Like there's always like it's a dead giveaway.
That's a terrible impression of their accent.
So I'm always like, hey, would you like to build you? I'm like, oh, hold on one sec. And then I just put, if I buy a phone, I'll be like, I'm in the middle of directing something, and I just put porn up. And so I just like, some guy's like, I said cut. And I start pretending I'm directing a porn film.
Like, oh, I love that.
I did it. My wife looked at me. She's like, you must be so proud of yourself. I was like, yeah, I actually am. Meanwhile, there's this comedian I know who became trans, right? And my friend's like, hey, do you want to book this guy? It was a guy that became a woman. Or he is trans. I guess you become trans. I don't know. He changes. And I'm like, so he texted me.
She changed. She,
right, right. She. So my friend was like, you want to book her? I'm like, I'm not booking either of them.
By the way, I think she did my show last night.
Oh,
if
really?
If she was a spokesperson for Bud Light.
No. She's doing comedy now?
Dylan Mulvaney's doing comedy. Yeah, did my show last night.
Oh my! And how was it? How was she?
You know what? As far as female comics go, not bad.
Setting the bar low.
When they announced Dylan Mulvaney, it was like people going crazy. Were they mad or like?
I think it was like, I think sometimes when people like that, it's so much cognitive dissonance. Take saying like, wait, who? How do I know the name? Because they're not connecting it to comedy. And then she went up there, and they were kind of like, oh, and. And she has a very curated set, you know. I don't know if she did it alone by herself. It's very curated, very scripted. She has some good jokes. She's not bad. She's obviously a performer. I don't know. I didn't hate her. Like I said, there have been a lot worse women on the show.
Well, he has been acting like he's a woman for a while now, so that's...
Well, I mean, if anybody videotapes it, they could probably make a lot of money. Yeah. Unfortunately, but like that would go viral in a second, especially if it's like it's not good. If the crowd's not laughing, forget about it. You know, it'll be
probably what you'd expect. It's like a lot of like cute energy and performance and kind of movement and just kind of
God.
Some people are going like that. I mean, she didn't kill. I would definitely wouldn't say she killed, but it wasn't like you're like clawing your face off, like, oh my God. You're kind of like, okay.
Are you sure it wasn't Brandon? Sure it wasn't Brendan Schaub and drag? Like maybe.
No, he retired from LA comedy.
Yeah, right.
He didn't kill anything but Bud Light stock price. But I do have a great idea for a Bud Light for a commercial. Doesn't this sound great to you guys? Like it's a Florida spring break with a bunch of fratty high school kids, or whatever. I guess college kids out drinking on the beach and a Bud Light plane comes. You know, leaving a smoke message and everybody's face gets kind of mad looking at it. And then it just comes out. The end, the smoke says, we're sorry, like in like capital letters. And then the Anheuser-Busch thing comes up. I'm telling you, it would fix everything for Bud Light.
I think if Bud Light just, if they could have used Dylan Mulvaney, but like in a better way, that if they were like, drink Bud Light and this will turn into, and then it's like Ariana Grande or something. Like they could have done like,
oh my God.
Like if you would have made fun of Dylan, like, but like in like a, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you're drinking and all of a sudden, like, you know, you get beer goggles. Like there was a way they could have done it where it would have been funny. You know, like,
yeah,
notice the poke or something, but it just,
I mean, I gotta be honest, I was watching her kind of going like, is she fuckable?
Oh, come on.
I think she might be kind of fuckable. Not like fuckable, but fuckable. Not for me, but for other kids. You know, I'm just thinking like, let me put it this way. She doesn't, you don't look at her and go, oh my God, what has Frankenstein's monster wrought? You know, it's more like she looks like a woman with a very skinny body with no hair.
Well, I mean, you see like that golfer who's the number one golfer right now. is like a trans female, and what's his name, John Daly, was like, she's about as feminine as a F-150.
Did he get fired for saying that?
From what? What is John Daly going to get fired from? You know, but
he got fired from rehab for that. Like, that's like, it.
Might be the most sober thing. No, but first of all, she's jacked. I mean, it's not like Dylan Mulvaney where it seems a lot more feminine than there's a whole trans volleyball team. It was in the Post today. It was five high school boys that transitioned.
This is high school?
Yeah, and they're just murdering the fucking, like.
But wait, hold on, time out. Because if you're in high school, you can't get bottom surgery yet.
No, but you can get all the.
So they still had dicks.
Yeah, but it's high school boys murdering kids on the volleyball team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the good news about the more trans athletes is eventually they're going to have their own league, because the argument of they can't have their own league is going to not be an argument if there's enough people to have their own league, you know?
The question is, will they call it the WNBA again?
It's like we're like going out of...
We're only going to have female sports because everyone's transitioning to a woman. So that's
That's the thing. It's like, you know, the thing is, it seems like women are not behind this at all, especially athletic women. Women that like, it doesn't seem like they're behind this at all. Meanwhile, did you hear that they're making it now that you can gamble on the Special Olympics?
What?
Yes. One of the betting sites started saying, good news, you could now bet on the Special Olympics. And
I love the fact that some of the bets have a handicap, probably.
God, it's a great joke.
It's a great joke. The comments were all like, "What? If you have a gambling problem, put this," first of all, that's probably pretty easy if you go to the Special Olympics, because there's different degrees of sometimes how handicapped people are. You know, I think you probably make a lot of money.
It's like, if you think you have a gambling problem, why don't you look at some of the problems these guys have? That's real problems. No, that's I was thinking I'll just transition to being a handicap and I could be the first retarded gold medalist, but Schaub already beat me to it. So
man,
that didn't make sense. I just want to call Schaub retarded.
All right.
You know, he's quitting comedy for a while, right? Because he has to be a family man. And
yeah,
he can't sell tickets.
You know, I mean, let's talk about Fikes. So there's a rumor going around that there's going to be Mark Hunt versus Mike Tyson. It's a four-way tournament between David Tua, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, and Mark Hunt in Saudi Arabia. They said they got 3 out of 4 signed on already. Did they just get cable and the internet and they're behind for 30 years? First of all, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to 100%
watch. Of course.
But I hope Tyson wins. I mean, Mark Hunt just got beat. He just got blown out of this, right? It's a boxing match. I mean, out of all those are all boxers. And Mark Hunt's a good MMA boxer. But Sean, Mark Hunt, what do you think about this?
Man, he's a lot younger, because I think Tyson is at least 12 years older than me, and Mark Hunt's only a year or two older than me. So I think Mark Hunt's still not even 50 yet, and Tyson, I think, has got to be pushing 60.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But Tyson looked amazing versus Roy Jones Jr., man. Yeah. I mean, Roy was old, but Tyson, I thought he didn't look like prime Tyson, obviously, but he looked amazing physically and still moved for his age. That was unbelievable after taking 20 years off or whatever it was.
I told you what happened with the monks with him, right? The shaman. So I ran into a guy that used to work with Tyson, and they said that before that fight, he was taking all these Mexican steroids, and this is allegedly from the guy who was working with him, and just taking all this stuff, right? And then he got off it. Like, he was taking all kinds of testosterone, so he was going crazy. But he was somehow he was taking ayahuasca or something. So he was meeting with some shamans in Malibu and had an episode where he had a really bad trip. So they had to call this guy and was like, "Hey man, it's Mike Tyson's wife on the phone, and Tyson's going crazy right now. and he's chasing around the shamans. Like
they're not exactly known for their speed when I imagine them. I don't imagine those guys running real fast.
So the guy drove up to Malibu and said there was like 30 monks running for their lives, and Tyson's just like in his underwear, fucking like saying, like charging, like walking towards them, and he had to calm Mike down. But like if I'm driving and I see 30 monks running, followed by Mike Tyson.
That's like bananas.
Krause and Tyson, hidden shaman. I got nothing.
It's like a Family Guy episode. And then Chad and Briggs is fighting Rampage Jackson. Have you heard about this?
What was the first name?
Shannon Briggs.
Briggs.
Oh, Shannon Briggs. Okay.
Yeah, he's boxing Rampage in 2 weeks.
Is this also Saudi Arabia?
No, this is in Florida, which is close, which is just as corrupt. But Shannon Briggs is going to kill Rampage, and I like Rampage. Briggs is like 55-3 as a boxer, and he's still huge. I don't know what he's taking, but he's massive. Rampage looks like he hasn't done a push-up or a sit-up in a long time, and I'm a huge Rampage fan, but man, I don't think this is going to end well. You ever see that Shannon Briggs thing where he was chasing around Klitschko?
No.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah,
there was a couple of videos where he wanted to fight Vladimir Klitschko, and he's like, "Where you go, I go, champ. Where you go, I go, champ." So everywhere Klitschko went, Shannon Briggs would show up with a camera crew. But at one point, the guy was paddleboarding. Shannon Briggs shows up on like a motorboat. It was like one of those like Wile E. Coyote, and he's like, "Come on, champ!" And then he started making waves, and then Klitschko fell off the paddleboard. And then Shannon Briggs is just laughing. It's probably the funniest thing I've ever heard. I've seen in my life.
And that wasn't staged? That was like he really taunted him down and did that?
Klitschko was mad. Oh, Klitschko was like, no.
Yeah, I thought it was set up, yeah, until I saw Klitschko's reaction. Nobody's that good of an actor, man. Like, he went to a restaurant, he started eating Klitschko's food when he was on a date or something. So whatever you eat, I eat. Start like grabbing shrimp off his plate or something. And they
Holy didn't,
you
know, shit.
Food fight. I thought it was fake at first, but no, you could tell Klitschko had enough. Russians aren't exactly known for their comic timing, so they don't like to joke.
Have you guys seen Trevor Noah? I mean, not Trevor. Have you guys seen Drake's penis? By the way,
no.
So
sounds like the name of a band.
So I guess a couple days ago, Drake was trending, and I looked on it, and he's just like on the phone with this huge fucking hog out, like. And he's like kind of playing with his dick, but like a lasso, and of course
it's a video.
Yeah, it's a video of him masturbating like while talking on the phone, and like it's a pretty big dick. I mean, it was a good angle for him, and like all these women, all these like women were like going crazy for it. Like these women seem very heavy for some reason, but all these women were like. Big women were all complimenting on it. And then John Cena made a thing on Instagram where he goes Drake the Snake, where he put Jake the Snake's like face, but Drake's face on Jake the Snake's body holding a snake. So now Drake the Snake was trending on Twitter. So just wanted to let everyone know.
See? John Cena, interesting move for John Cena to go in that direction. The Mr. Number One Make-A-Wish guy.
All right. He's got a few wishes, I bet. But, have you guys read the Vince McMahon text?
No. Wait, so...
I haven't.
You guys have not read the Vince McMahon text?
Some of them, but some of them are like it's like blurred out a little bit, some of the words.
Not if you go on Reddit. Dude, if you read them, I'm telling you, here's a hit TV show for one of you guys to pitch. Just the comedian reading the funniest comments on something like Vince McMahon's messages, dude. Like his messages are so obscene. Like it's the most horrific thing I've ever read in my life. Like Hustler magazine wouldn't put it out. It is the most
it's like a Serbian film or something like that. Is it that bad?
It'll like nauseate you reading it. And the way he says stuff, it sounds I don't know. It is unreal. But the comments on Reddit are so funny, man. Because he kept talking about like black guys squirting their loads and stuff, and somebody said, "Why is it when he said, or some guy said, I just like got so nauseated when I heard him use squirt and like meaning a man, you know, or whatever. And then some other guy, he spells pussy with an E before the Y. And somebody goes, somebody said, the pussy with an E makes it so much more disgusting. You know, like everything, I just keep talking about how God's making it way worse, the way he's misspelling stuff and everything. It is, dude.
Well, you know,
I didn't even know anybody's capable of writing
sex toys. His sex toys, he would name the black ones, he would name the black sex toys after the black wrestlers, and then the white sex toys after the white wrestlers. So I was like, man, I hate to see Sergeant Slaughter, you know? And then that opened up a whole, like, everyone liked the Big Show, and it's time.
Yeah.
Just kept going, you know? The Bushwhackers, it's just like everyone had like a, man, fucking.
So wait, what was the one you started with? Inclusive?
I said Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay, yeah, I thought that's what you said. I was just making sure you cut out. If you weren't going to say it, I was.
So, you guys watched the fights last week?
I didn't know there were fights last week.
All right, there were some UFC fights. They were pretty good. This guy, Renato Moicano, beat Drew Dober. And it was pretty funny because it was a good fight. But after the fight, before they got their hands raised, and Moicano goes, how much did you fucking weigh? And then,
three rounds.
And then Drew Dober tells him, and then he goes, "You motherfucker!" Like he goes 180. I guess the fight was at, I think it was at 155. But you gotta see, his speech. The speech was pretty epic. Let me see. So this is Renato Moicano's speech after the fight. Here we go. And
I'll vote for him for president.
He goes, "How much did you weigh?" He goes, "You motherfucker."
After three rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for decision. All three judges score this contest 29-28 for the winner by unanimous decision.
So he goes,
FTC,
I'm here with Money Boy Cardo.
You here again? I love you.
Boy Cardo, what a fight.
Can I talk to you a little bit?
Yes.
My father is 62 years old and he had a baby yesterday. So, bora, papai, eu te amo, seu filho da... 62 anos, botando um menino pra jogo. Eu vou ter que ter um outro filho. I'm telling him, tomorrow, when I get home, I'm gonna get my wife pregnant another time. Because my father, 62 years old, can populate the world, I can too. Money Moicano, 3.
That's some good genetics, Money Moicano.
Thing. I love America, you know? I'm not American, but I will be. My green card is 3 years. In 2 years, I will be American. And after I'm done with fighting, I will serve on the police officer. I want to be a SWAT team, and I want to kill the bad guys. Make no mistake. That is wrong. And people are forgetting about that. People are going crazy. That's why I want more kids. I want people to go to the church. I want people to respect law. Otherwise, this great country in the world is going to be a third world country, and I don't want a dead. Something's wrong in America, and I want to fix it right now. On the last thing, I have a channel. If you support Brazil, if you support America, Money Moicano channel right now. Subscribe on YouTube, the best content in the world. Hey, MMA guru, you are pig. You say, I would get slapped by the Drew Dober almost 1 year without fighting. And I schooled this. I'm sorry. I am the biggest, one of the biggest Drew Dober fans. When I was 45, I saw that guy knocking other people out and say, I'm glad another 55. And today, I just beat the huge, mad respect for Drew Dober. Thank you. I love you, brother.
Good thing we're on ESPN.
Dun, 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 dun. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's a ball trimmer sent from space. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra featuring the Lawnmower 5.0. We're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. That's right. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultra Sphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code MMA Roasted. High tech for low places. Manscaped. I'm telling you, people, I use Manscaped all the time. My balls feel amazing. Amazing. Okay. If you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they put their balls, you put your balls in their mouth, okay? Or they put their balls in your mouth, whatever it is, okay? You want your balls, you want them shaved, you want them feeling good. It's a whole new experience, okay? AI is cool, but I think this might be the biggest technological advancement the world has seen in the past decade. Now, every man knows how scary it is when going for a close shave. Oh my God, I've cut myself. It's horrible. And then the whole day you're like, ugh, just not feeling good. It's just shaving, like your balls are just, ugh. You're wearing boxers and it's just going against you. And you're like, ugh, not good, not good. Okay. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top and a new foil blade for go smooth whenever your heart desires. Okay, I'm telling you, they also have the Weed Whacker 2.0, which features skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Very delicate. Okay, so get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code MANSCAPED at, I know, with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. I promise you, you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today with our folks at Manscaped. You're going to thank me when you have nice, shaved balls that feel really good. Check it out. Manscaped. I think it makes a lot of good points.
If he was in front of a MAGA crowd, they'd have been
America
crazy.
Is a great country.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people from third world countries or Cuba or Brazilians that come here are a lot more appreciative and loving towards this country than people that were born here, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm a fan. I think that was so. And then have you guys been following the Jamal? Is it Jamal Hill stuff? So Jamal Hill, he was the champ, and then he had to step down because he got hurt. And he's always fighting with people. But someone wrote like, hey, man, you know, you're a great fighter. I want you to take out this fraud, whatever. And I guess I don't know what he goes. You call me a fraud, motherfucker. Like he just went off on like the guy was complimenting him. And then and then he started going off on the guy. But then somebody wrote like a really funny thing of like somebody on like Twitter, and you're right, Sean, some of these people on Reddit and Twitter are hilarious. Like I'm just like, holy shit, if they could somehow channel this comedy into, well, I could say the thing about you actually, but so but this was one of my favorite. Somebody wrote like MMA fans, hey Jamal, you're the best champ, good luck in your next fight. And then they go, this is Jamal Hill, right? They took the Mike Tyson thing. Remember when Tyson goes absolutely insane and says he wants to like fuck someone in the ass until they love him? You ever see that?
Yeah.
So they go, so this is pretty funny. So they're like, they go, hey, Jamal, I'm a big fan. And then they go, this is Jamal Hill.
Don't you fuck you, punk ass white boy. Come in and tell me if I fuck you in your ass, you punk white boy. You faggot. You can't touch me. You're not man enough. I eat your asshole alive, you bitch. Fuck you, you hoe. Come and take my face. Fuck you, ass for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You scared coward. You're not man enough to fuck with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white pussy. Scared of the real man. I'll fuck you till you love me, faggot.
Like, there's a lot to, I don't even really understand. Like, he says, I'll fuck you till you love me. And then he calls him a faggot. So, like, why would the other person be gay if he's the one?
Don't you know prison rules? If you're giving the dick, you're straight. If you're taking the dick, you're gay.
Is that is that really the rule?
I think that's what he was going with there. Yeah, I think that's what Tyson was shooting for. I think I got into my subconscious like when I saw it when I was a kid, because that would always be my first threat. Adam seen me flip out one time before when I would threaten to murder somebody or whatever. It was always that I was going to bend him over. and fuck him in front of everybody. And I wouldn't even realize I was saying it. It just came out, you know what I mean, or whatever. And I got some odd looks from people when I would say that. They'd be like, wait, what? Like, what? I almost pulled a truck driver out of his truck the other day. That was my first confrontation in a few months. That was great.
John, I think what happened?
Dude, I am, like, I have, whatever the thing is, I can't remember what it's called. Whenever there's a loud, unexpected noise, I become the most violent person in the world for about 5 seconds. Like, I don't like being startled, scared. I don't think it's funny. Like, I've had people jump out of closets. My friends like to scare me and stuff. Like when Shab jumped out of the closet. No. Like I'll have them like, jump out, and then I'll go ahead and punch them anyway. You know what I mean? Like hit them for real. Like I was scared, but they know I wasn't. You know, or they do scare me. I don't like being startled. I don't know what it is. Like whatever that is, loud noises I don't like. So, it was raining. This dude doesn't have his lights on. We're driving 2 miles an hour in a truck stop parking lot because I had to stop and get gas, diesel for something. Long story. We're pulling out, and I didn't see him. He didn't have his lights on. It was raining. It was 7 o'clock at night. It's dark, you know? And then all of a sudden, he flips his light on and starts blowing his horn. It wasn't an almost near collision. Wasn't almost anything. And so I've got my fiance with me. We're just sitting there, and he just keeps laying on the horn. And I can't go. Like, it's a red light. He just keeps laying on it. And I just started counting down, like, 7, 6. And she's like, please don't. 5. I said, when I got to 0, I got out and started walking back toward him. And usually when people see me get out of the car, start heading toward him, they change their mind immediately. Like he didn't want, because usually I have a gun with me too. I usually grab a gun and carry it with me too. But so let's start walking back. All of a sudden, he wants to roll down his window instead of get out. And I said, hey, man, you didn't have your lights on. It's rained. I didn't see you. So that was my fault, you know, even though you didn't have your lights on. He goes, oh, that's all you had to say. I said, no, I got a lot more to say than that. And I said, touch the horn again right now and see what happens. And he's like, what? I said, touch it again right now and see what happens. Touch it. I dare you, touch it. He says, there's a cop right over there. I said, okay, get out of your truck and see if you can make it to him. Let's see who's faster, me or you.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell him. And he was like, dude, I've got a gun. I said, I got one too, right here. I said, so reach for it. And then it got awkward, man. Like, he was just sitting there looking. He's like,
are you off the
steroids? Well, I'm sorry. I was like, too late. Not sorry. And he said, like, get out. I said, blow your horn or go get the cop or admit you're a bitch. Like, those are your three options, you know?
Yeah.
As I started to walk away, I thought he said something. So I turned back around, walked around, said, you have something to say? Like, still? And he was like, he just started rolling his window up and just sitting there, like, straight ahead or whatever. But my mom always gets mad when that happens. She goes, like, somebody's going to shoot you one day. I was like, or get shot. Because my dad used to always tell me, you know, there's a lot of people that will shoot you over something like that. And I said, yeah, Dad, I'm one of them. Like, that's what I'm telling you. So, like, if it's, I'm the dude that you don't do that to, because I will murder you over something like that.
Yeah,
so,
but
like,
first of all,
you lose.
But we need you. We need you in this world.
I win on that day, though.
But no, Sean, we need you. We need you. Now, are you off all the juice and stuff?
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. I just had a regular test, like, from a doctor. I had a bad HGH experience not long ago. Actually, long ago. But it's I don't know if I ever told you that. When you take so many injections for so long, like testosterone or whatever, like, sometimes you quit swabbing it with an alcohol rub because, I mean, what are the chances you're going to get an infection? It didn't happen the last 60 times, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I didn't have an alcohol swab or whatever. So I shoot a little bit of HGH, and by a little, I mean a lot, into the skin of my stomach. And then like 6 hours later, it is burning and swelling. And I knew that wasn't good as like an infection. Then I start to notice I'm holding a lot of water. So I was drinking a lot of water at the time, and I just keep getting puffier. So I keep drinking water to flush it out. I get to 3.5 gallons and I haven't peed. So I've drank 3.5 gallons of water, which is almost 30 pounds of water. And I haven't peed. I cannot pee. I don't have to pee. It's just going everywhere into my hands, my face, my legs, my balls, everything, man. Like I just start swelling and I don't know what the infection did. I don't know what. So I go to the ER and by the time I got there after like 2 days, I said, I'm 38 pounds heavier than I was 36 hours ago. And I have not eaten a single thing. I just keep drinking water and I haven't peed. And then they thought I was having heart failure. So they run me back real quick because I guess that's the sign for heart failure. And then when they found out my heart was fine, the doctor's like, okay, really, what is going on? What did you take? What happened? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, something happened. That doesn't just happen to anybody, you know? He said, something must have happened. And I said, well, I gave myself a shot in the stomach. And then they start freaking out, like, of what? And I was like, oh, just human growth hormone. It's fine. Then he starts, you know, like, give me a lecture or whatever. And yeah, I guess the infection did something weird to my body, but they gave me a diuretic and I was fine. But they had me believing, they thought I was dying, and I thought I was dying for about 2 hours. They were saying you're having heart failure. That only happens with heart failure. And I thought, well, I've never had a heart problem before, but okay, I guess I'm dying. You know, it was strange. But I don't know if you've ever gained 40 pounds of water just in like 2 days. It's an odd thing to have happen.
Oh, no.
Like everything was swollen. Like everything on my entire body was just swollen. Like it was like crazy.
Meanwhile, so, you know, Bill, I take, you know, testosterone. But they said I was up to like 1040, which is, I was started at like 300. And I started noticing like, I was getting like annoyed a lot quicker, you know, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's more. They said you're supposed to be between 800 and 1,000. That's healthy.
Yeah. So I'm like, anything over 1,000, you're pushing it. Yeah.
So I'm going to Saudi Arabia. So I text Sean and I'm like, hey man, am I going to get like arrested for bringing testosterone into this country? And so I texted Mayhem and Sean, and both of them were like, do not bring it into the country. Right. So,
yeah.
But you know, so I figure both of those, Mayhem said, no, and I'm not. Sean said, don't. So I didn't. So now I'm not going to have this stuff for a month. But like my friend's on it too. My friend who's on the trip with us, and he's like, oh, you could bring it. He was like, dude, you got to ask a brown person. He goes, so thanks a lot, Sean.
My tan has faded too much.
But is it good to get off it for a bit?
Well, I'm going to lose weight. Like, you lose about 15 pounds when you go off it. Like, I do at least.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of it's water weight. Like, you end up.
Yeah.
But the only problem is, like, after, like, 2 or 3 weeks off it, your energy goes down. Like, I noticed it because I've gone on off it before. My energy goes down. But my wife says I look older on it, but I think that's just marriage and a kid. I'm not really sure if that's the stuff.
But that is true. I mean, if you look at like Gordon Ryan, who's like 28 or like 29, his face looks like he's 50. And then that guy, the Liver King, looks like fucking Gandalf the Grey.
Yeah, but those guys, I think those guys aren't just taking testosterone, right? Like,
no, they're on everything, man. They're on growth and everything. There's the newest thing. It's not actually new. Bob Stapp told me about it in 2014. Is these what are they called? The peptides. It's replaced HGH, but it's not like the peptides you buy at GNC. There's some kind of, I don't even know what it's for, but it's there's some peptide thing. Bob Stapp told me, when I fought with him in Japan, he was ripped, dude, at 385 pounds. I said, dude, how much do you lift weights? He goes, I haven't lifted a weight in 8 years. You know, or whatever. I'm like, how are you in such good shape? And he's like, such and such peptides, and try to get me to like go to Thailand with him and take some and get my back fixed and do what else in Thailand. It always scares me to death because, Bob Stapp says you can get anything you want in Thailand for $1,500. He said like brain surgery or anything, like anything you want, $1,500 in Thailand. So,
yeah, but Bob Stapp also told a friend of mine that the reason he was losing on purpose was because he had like 4 months to live and he was giving all the money away to charity and it's setting up his family. And that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's actually about 10 years ago that I heard that too. So it's a heck of a way to, cover the short term.
I'm like, that's a really good, well, you're like, because you go from hating him to go, that's beautiful. I can't believe he's doing all that. But like, maybe he's just an excuse to like, well, if I lose on purpose, but tell him it's for charity. Meanwhile, there's this whole new trend of now of fighters that are going against people that have Down syndrome, right? And letting them win.
What?
Yeah. Like it's like Diego Sanchez did it, and then someone else did it recently, where they fought a guy with Down syndrome, and then they lose, but on purpose, obviously. And everyone like cheers for the other person, and like, which I think is great. But I don't know if this guy with Down syndrome knows this is a fixed fight, and I'm pretty sure like what's gonna happen now when he goes starts a fight at a bar or something, and just gets fucked. I just get steamrolled because somebody tricked him into thinking that he could beat the UFC champion. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is doing a lot more harm than good.
Like, I'll never forget when Diego Sanchez did his, it was all over my Facebook page when he had his fight. And I said, that's it, man. Somebody needs to talk to Diego. This is embarrassing at this point, you know, or whatever. He has to retire as if he actually lost, you know, everybody, they didn't appreciate it. So I thought it was funny.
I mean, but don't you kind of, that's hilarious. But don't you kind of think, Sean, that like this is essentially like the hot chick, like flirting with the nerd to make him feel good or something, or like the kid's school? Yeah. And now all of a sudden,
I thought it was a make everybody to school 3 weeks later. Are you saying this? Are you saying people with Down syndrome are going to come to the school later and kill everybody?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's going to go out and hit on somebody and get rejected way worse. Like, maybe that's not the best example, and it was not ending in a school shooting, my story. Okay?
I thought the Down syndrome guy was going to hit on somebody and it was going to get shot down. I was like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm saying, well, maybe not the nerd, but I'm just saying that I think that like the intention is really sweet, but I'm not sure this person's in on the fact that the fight's fixed. Like, because
When I saw, I thought it was a Make-A-Wish. I literally did. So the kid isn't like dying or anything.
No,
he just did it for.
Yeah, like why not the person fight him somebody with Down syndrome? Make it a fair fight or something. Like rather than.
I think it was actually my Make-A-Wish because I really wanted to see somebody with Down syndrome fight a UFC fighter and see who would actually win.
This is your Make-A-Wish? Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't think a Down syndrome person is aware that it's just for fun and that Diego let him win? You're basically saying Down syndrome people are retarded.
I'm not sure because he was celebrating like he really won. And
I'm not sure if Diego knew he let the guy win either. Let's be honest. Evil mental playing field regardless.
Because because if somebody lets you win, are you really going to celebrate like you won? Wouldn't you kind of just like I have a friend named Brian, right? And my friend Brian is like, you know, Swinehart, and he's wrestling, and he goes, "Oh, I got a match against this guy that he goes, there was this kid from his hometown that was like the best." And then he got, I don't know, hit by lightning or something, hit by a car. Something happened where he had like severe brain damage. And
I thought you were going to say superpowers.
Oh, but the guy,
that's a better story.
The guy looks jacked, right? But he's got brain damage, like something's wrong with him, right? And the father keeps putting him in this wrestling tournament every year, right? So Brian has to wrestle him, and Brian's like, "Well, I go easy on him," and then the guy gets mad at him and goes, "No, wrestle me hard. But if you slam him the wrong way, the kid could die." Like, because
oh my god. Like,
because his brain, like, if he, first of all, what kind of dad is doing this? Is putting the guy in a situation where the kid can just die to win a wrestling? Like, is this worth it? You know, but essentially, this is a no-win situation for Brian because the guy's mad at him and he's telling him to go harder. But if he goes too hard, he can kill him. I don't know why.
I want to know what his dad was forcing him to do when he got struck by lightning. His dad was probably like, "Hey, get up on the house and move the satellite dish. See if we can get a signal."
Yeah.
It might have been a car accident, and I just exaggerated it and said it was struck by lightning. By the way, so DC and you know Laura Sanko, right? Laura Sanko is like the hot blonde. I guess she did a couple fights and Invicta, and now she's a commentator. She does a really good job commentating. Almost, I think she does too good of a job, where like she's not having fun, but because she's the first female commentator, she has to prove that she knows what she's talking about, where it almost becomes too technical, but she's doing fine, right? And she's hot. So I go, you know, her and DC make a good team, you know? I go, you have a commentator with the biggest tits in MMA, you know, and Laura Sanko, right? It's just a simple.
Yeah, good joke. Classic. So
Laura Sanko retweets it during the event. And she writes like, LOL. So like, she's watching this, my Twitter. Like, I'm wondering if she gave it to DC. Cause I told you how DC got mad at me because it was that guy, Chris Barnott. I wrote a sketch for him where he was going to be Lizzo. And then something happened where his wife died. Something terrible happened. And he kind of went MIA. So we needed to film the sketch. So I had to call DC and I'm like, "Hey, anyway, you could be Lizzo." And it was just a silence on the phone. Like it was like Thanksgiving or something. It was just not. I had never, I had to call from a blocked number to like, so he'd pick up again. It was just one of those things where like, I'm not sure DC's a big fan of mine because of me asking him, like, "Hey, you kind of resemble Lizzo," you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see when she commentates with Dominic Cruz when for the first time there's zero sexual tension between the two announcers.
Dominic Cruz has banged some of the hottest women on earth.
So is Mick Jagger, but I don't think Mick Jagger straight.
I know this for a fact. One time he did get mad at me, and because I picked, it was one of those things where anytime somebody was on the show back in the day, I would just pick them to win. I'd be like, "Oh, I think you're going to win." And even if he was like the next guy he was fighting with on the next day, I would go, "You're definitely going to win." Like that was kind of like my own running joke. Like if anyone listened to it, you'd be like, "This guy is so full of shit." So he was fighting TJ Dillashaw. And I'm like, "Oh, Dillashaw, you're definitely going to beat Cruz." And then I got a text from Cruz going, "You're going to eat your words, little man." Like he
oh, God.
He called me a little man, right? So then I had to like, Then I had to call him. I'm like, dude, anyone who comes on the show, I pick him to win. He goes, oh, that's pretty smart, actually. That's pretty good. Like, dude, he was – when I had to direct him in the BTS, when he was one of the Korean boy band, he was so mad. Sean, you would have laughed so fucking hard. He goes, this is the dumbest shit I've ever fucked. I'm only here because my therapist told me I need to get out of my comfort zone. I fucking hate this. I hate dancing. I hate you. I don't find this funny. And I'm like, all right, we're off to a great start.
Why am I not surprised Don McCruz has a therapist? I wonder if there's any major issue in his life he needs to confront and just be honest with folks about.
No, he's not.
Oh, my God.
He's not gay. And if he was, that would be okay, too. Did I ever tell you guys about Sean, did you see my post? I posted about my last comic standing notes.
Yeah, I saw that. Was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe the things they told you to drop that they were ever put in there to begin with. I actually was thinking I was reading Vince McMahon's emails again or his text messages. Like, are they reviewing McMahon's things? Like, so, drop the shit, drop the pussy, drop the cocksucker. Like, dude, you're on NBC. What are you doing?
So what would happen was I would just send them like 500 jokes, you know, and I'm like, see what they approve. Because like some of the things they would approve would make no sense. And some of the things they wouldn't approve would be like, you'd be like, wait, this got through and this didn't get through. Like, and then I talked about my mom. I go, my mom was crazy. They wanted me to have, they're like, in order for you to say that, you have to find your mom and have her sign a consent form saying I am crazy. I'm like, first of all, if she signs that, who's going to sign something saying I'm crazy? You know,
right.
But
when they defeats the purpose because she's not of sound mind when signing it.
Right. So Bill, go. Here are the notes on the revised set. And they put cap revised. I'll check with Andrew about the orgasm mentioned. Right. Paragraph 10, lose the shit mentioned. Paragraph 28, the camel toe ring is rejected. The camel toe ring joke.
That's a great joke. I know the joke is, but I know that's a good joke.
Paragraph 32, the penis headband joke is still rejected. Not just
great joke.
Tried it more than once.
Paragraph 39, lose the putting my testicles on my girlfriend's shoulder line. We'll need something less graphic. Lose the ejaculation mention, saying performance would be acceptable. Lose the penis mention, saying I'm bipolar down there would work. Dude, I was like, I was
now who sounds like a porn director, right?
Yeah, totally. Wait, then the fireworks went off. That's how they want to replace orgasm with the fireworks went off.
Yeah. It was so dumb.
Oh, God.
All right, so
you know Brendan Schaub was going to be on that show, and they told him to lose the what the fuck, and it killed every punchline he had in his entire set.
Oh my God!
Because he's like Michael Jackson, what the fuck, right, guys? That's his jokes.
Dude, it was one of the funniest I've ever seen Sean laugh. Was that you know I forgot about it. I was telling a story about how I did a show one time in Fresno, and there was a guy that was selling scooters for like $50 a pop. You know, like those scooters back in the day, like the Razor scooters. He went up there and did a 4-minute infomercial on buying a scooter and just went off. Like, I don't think the guy was even a comic. Like, he was just trying to sell scooters after the show. Like, he had one internet joke of like, take my wife. I'm like, I just flew in from like Jersey. Boy, my arm's tired or something. And
oh, then God.
By like 4 minutes of scooters.
I should have taken this scooter. That's a nice little transition and segue to the scooter call,
dude. Then I saw Ja Rule, who was a Ja Rule and Ashanti, and Ray J opened up, and Ray J had like he was sponsored by some scooter company, and he did like 6 rap songs about the scooters, which was probably like a good idea in theory, you know, like oh it'll be great, he'll rap about it. People were so fucking mad because he was singing while riding the scooter around the stage. And like nobody wanted to see any of this. Like, but I told you when I go, when I saw Too Short recently, and he goes, hey, man, I see a lot of you young kids. He goes, I probably banged half your moms. He goes,
oh, my God.
He goes, if your mom calls me the homie, we fucked.
Oh, God.
So this week in MMA, it's actually a pretty decent card. So this guy, Jack Hermanson, who one of these guys that wins fights, I think he's going to lose, loses when he wins. He's fighting Joe Pfeiffer, who was a guy that was Dana White. He was homeless and Dana White was paying his rent. And then he thanked Dana for this afterwards. He's like, Dana, thanks for paying my rent. And then people got really mad at him for that because they were like, why is he paying my rent? But yeah. He's good. He's from Pennsylvania. Kid's really good. Andre Feely. He's actually a pretty he's in a rap group. He rides a motorcycle. He's got a hot girlfriend. He's a badass. He was in high school. He had an ankle monitor. He had to quit the wrestling team because he couldn't leave his house.
Whoa! What did he do to get an ankle monitor?
I think fighting or something. I'm not sure. I mean, he's
trying to join the homeschool team.
He's fighting Dan Ige, who's always in Bible study. Every time I invite him to the show, he has Bible study. He was the guy. The only time I think he ever was in a Bible study was, remember he like lost to Bryce Mitchell, and Bryce Mitchell was like, I want to do a prayer with Dan Ige, and he was like, Satan caused the fires in Hawaii. That was the only time. That was the only time I think he didn't want to have Bible study. And then Michael Johnson, who's 21-19. He's got to be the best 21-19 fighter of all time. Like,
absolutely.
Michael Johnson, if you look at the guys he has wins over, like a lot of them, he I thought he actually won, but he has a win over Andre Feely. He's got he lost to Gaethje, lost to Khabib, win over Dustin Poirier by knockout. He lost to Nate Diaz, but he's got a win over Gleison Tibau. You got a win over Tony Ferguson. I mean, is this the best 21-19 fighter of all time? Like holy shit.
Gotta be, man. Yeah. He didn't almost knock out Khabib, but he rocked him, man. He landed that one solid right hand on Khabib that buckled him a little bit. It was like, remind me when Shane Mosley got Mayweather that one time with that right hand in it. You started thinking you were getting ready to see history made, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that his fight is basically, if he gets you with that one punch, that right hand, that's how he wins. Otherwise, he's going to lose.
No, he's good. So many of his fights, he's winning, and then he gets viciously knocked out. Like, but he's winning the whole round, and he just gets caught. But I don't even know if it's a
chip. They played for a while, too, ran him through the ringer, man. They put him against the top seven guys six fights in a row, you know, or something like that. Like, it was no easy fights for Michael Johnson for a while. I've never understood the UFC, man. Because they want you to lose is probably why they do it. But I've never understood why. What's wrong with letting a guy win a couple fights, give him the advantage, and then bring him back? Why do you have to fight number two, then four, then three, then six? You know, like, it just, like, it's crazy, you know?
By the way, Mayweather one time, I was opening for Michael Blackson, and Mayweather was there. And he had a girl on each arm and a woman that was, like, an attractive woman behind him whose job was to massage his head for an hour and a half. She just gave him a head rub. All she did was massage the back of his head for an hour and a half during the show. Oh, it's just like,
wow.
Yeah. I would love to have.
Would love that service.
Max Payne Griffin's on this card. He's a really good fighter. Good dude. And then also Devin Clark, another guy who like has the biggest thighs I've ever seen. And he's always, he wins, he loses, he wins, he loses. Like he goes back, is one of these guys that keeps good fighter, but has never reached his potential. They call him the brown bear. But that's this week. And then next week is crazy. It's Volkanovski versus, Ilya Topuria, who's 14-0 from Spain. He's the guy, Sean, he's the one that beat Bryce Mitchell. He beat Josh Emmett. He knocked out Ryan Hall. This dude's on a tear, and he's fighting Volkanovski, who's coming off a first round loss. Volkanovski was a rugby player, Bill, who weighed 240 pounds, and now he fights at 145, which was like,
isn't he like 5'5" or something?
Yeah,
5'3", I think.
Yeah, like a professional rugby player.
Whoa,
who do you like in this fight, Sean?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's hard to ever, like, bet against Volkanovski, man. Like, I have bet against him repeatedly and lost every time. So, other than his last fight when he lost, going up another weight class, I think, I don't know if anybody's going to beat him at 145. He shocked me every time. So.
And then Paulo Costa versus Robert Whittaker. Paulo Costa, I don't know if he runs his Twitter page or who runs it, but whoever does it is hilarious. It's probably the funniest. I mean, it's just fucking hilarious. I hope Whittaker wins though, man. He's been going through it. Like, you know, saying he was depressed and he had to get out of the house and he's going through anxiety. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on with him, but Paulo Costa is also one of those guys that like, you think he's going to win and then he loses. But he beat he lost. Only people he's lost Israel Adesanya, and then he lost. I guess he beat Luke Rockhold last fight. That was a great fight.
I think he's only fought two times in the last 19 years or something. It's crazy. Yeah, he pulls out every time, man. He
lost to Marvin Vettori also. Ian Garry, who was supposed to go on Rampage's podcast. And Rampage didn't know who he was. I was asking Ariel Helwani, isn't that the guy whose wife fucks other dudes, whatever? So he made a video saying he's not going on Rampage's podcast and fuck Rampage and this and that. So,
seems like he gets his feelings hurt for a lot for a guy that doesn't mind his wife sleeping with her ex-husband. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He seems awfully sensitive.
Well, we don't know if that's true. We don't know if
I thought that was accepted. I literally thought that was accepted, like understood. I don't know.
No. According to Sean O'Malley, he said he would let his wife bang other girls, other guys, because he gets to bang other girls.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You gotta be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable and bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
But we don't know if it's true about the Ian Garry. So he's fighting Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal must be about 230 and he fights at 170. Cause like I saw him in person and the guy was huge. I'm like, how the fuck is he making 170? And then Cejudo versus Merab, that's a great fight. Anthony Fluffy Hernandez is taking on Robin Kobolov. Mackenzie Dern versus Lemos. This card's gonna be the shit.
Yeah.
So Andrea Lee, that's the one who's my friend who when Don Fry was in the hospital, she texted Don Fry and said, you know, I met you a long time ago and it was an honor. And then she took a picture of her and Dan Severin by accident and sent it to him. So Bill, by the way,
is there any word on who the UFC main event on 300? Have you guys heard anything on the inside, Adam? I don't know what they're going to do, man. I don't know.
I think they're trying to do Conor versus why do I feel like it's gonna be Conor versus Nate Diaz? I just feel like
that would be the really? Best. That'd be the best one they could do, but I don't think Conor can come back by then, can he?
Well, it's no longer USADA, right?
Right. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but everybody will bitch about it. So it's like, but they bitched when Dana White smacked his wife and just came right back to work too. And he's like, oh, well, tough, you know? So it's kind of, if you don't bend to the mob, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, which, you know, obviously smacking your wife is horrible and terrible, but you know, I mean, the way Dana handled it is probably, I mean, if he would have went, the problem is if he would have said, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the people that are mad at him are never not going to be mad at him. You know,
no, they smell blood, man. As soon as you apologize, they smell blood and go after it. Like,
well, it's just also kind of sad that you could do something and apologize and then you're never, ever forgiven, you know?
Yeah, never apologize.
So then you're like, well, I'm never going to apologize, which is also wrong, you know, because you should be able to apologize and learn from your mistakes. That's why I was super happy about Shane Gillis, because I'm like, the guy was supposed to get on SNL. They should have put him on 2 years ago. And then, you know, now he's hosting again, which is like an awesome redemption story. And then people are like mad about him hosting. But I'm not even sure if they're really mad at him hosting or they're saying people are mad just to sell, just to make it controversial so they get clicks. Because I don't know anyone that's mad at him hosting. I don't know anybody that's like, fuck him. I don't want him to host. It seems like people are only for him hosting, you know?
Yeah.
Only if they're against people that are transitioning to people who have Down syndrome.
Oh, my God. There we go. Like,
I don't know if that's part of his act or not, but, man, he looks half retarded to me.
He does.
Yeah.
He
talks, it is part of his act. He does talk about it.
Yeah,
I've literally seen almost nothing he's ever said. I just heard he was kind of
funny. Oh, no, you'd like him. He's very funny.
Yeah, you'd like him.
He talks about working at the Special Olympics and people thinking that he was part of the –
oh, that's exactly what I would have done if I was him. So maybe I would like him. That's awesome. You gotta lean into it always.
Shouldn't like the referees also have special needs? Like, because that would be funny as hell. Like, that would be nonstop.
They couldn't be criticized at all for doing a bad job. Like, that's not how the WWE refs are. Like, is there a worse person at their job than a WWE ref? Like, he turns his back for a second, nine wrestlers get in, throw a cloud of powder and dust into somebody's face. They turn around. They didn't see anything that happened. Got hit with brass knuckles.
I love it.
Shorts. Like, he has no idea what happened. Look around, like, dude, the blindest refs ever.
If you look up, like, 100 worst gimmicks in WWE history, Vince McMahon, like, one of them, like, right after 9/11, there was the terrorist, like, a guy that was
there's the man before my tag team called the Twin Towers, like after 9/11.
Dude, there was one of them.
You guys got to read his text messages. You won't be the same ever again, but you got to read
them. I will read them for sure.
There was a one of them in indie wrestling, like West Virginia wrestling. The guy was, and I think it was one of the Hart Foundation. He was the Klansman. He came out in a full Klan outfit and wrestled a black dude. And you're like, what? Who? Who thought this was a good idea?
Tell me he won.
I mean, I'm going to watch that match, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, who thought this is a good idea? Like
the same guy that wrote those text messages, I'll tell you that.
By the way, real quick, when I mentioned a Serbian film, none of you guys registered. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say a Serbian film?
No idea.
Okay. Just do your go watch that movie and get back to me, Sean.
Oh,
the movie you told me about?
It's called A Serbian Film. Oh. It's banned in most countries, but you can find it.
I know the last movie you told me to watch, and you said smoke some weed before, and instead I chewed a little bit of like Delta 9 edible, and it creeped me the hell out instead of being funny. Like whatever was going on in that scene, I had nightmares about all night. And I still don't fully remember it, but it was odd, man. That was really strange. He's like, it's both funny or high. I was like, I don't know about that. It's more scary high. That was the weirdest thing. It made no sense up to that point either. None of it, it had nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
He's so twisted. There was a guy out there who's gone full Nazi, and he's like, we got to book him tomorrow. And I'm like, it wasn't even a fighter. It was like a guy that's like it's a Nazi now. And I'm like, why would I like Bill Dawes, like I feel like we're like past the point of entertainment. Like we're just so jaded. We're like, okay, you know, it's like I told you about that guy that I opened for on America's Got Talent. that talks through us, that he like, he talks to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he talks to us, right? Like, and like, and then he got jumped by two black guys, and he's like, I just got jumped by two black guys. Like, his whole act is through his phone. Like, and I'm like, if somebody just, if it, because I said, if his phone dies, he has no act because he can't talk. But then someone said he has five phones with him. Like, just like.
So he's also dealing drugs. That's good to know.
Yeah. It's like, just in case. By the way, Chael Sonnen asked me about you, McCorkle. I was talking to Chael.
Oh, did he?
He goes, how does he make a living? He goes, this guy is hilarious, good-looking guy. He somehow trolled his way into beating Mark Hunt, you know, in 52 seconds. He goes, but what does he do? I go, dude, he's one of my best friends. I have no idea. I go, I think he's not telling me because he doesn't want me to be like an accomplice to whatever he's doing.
I enjoy the mystery of it because everybody wants to know. So I let everyone, all of my friends, like, I just don't understand how you're paying your bills. I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. I just let them keep wondering.
I have a question that may be related or not. Have you ever murdered somebody?
Only in my mind.
Okay.
But there's still time left. Yeah. I do have a hope. I like, if I get cancer list, that's up to like 9 now. So like, if I get cancer, I'm not going to be doing the riding a bull or skydive or anything like that. Mine will be okay. How many of these can I get before they catch me?
So, I have a friend.
Taking some people with me to see Jesus.
So. You know, my friend was just telling me a story about his buddy who went to jail. Like, he killed somebody. He did like 15 years and he got out. And then he shot someone else like 2 years later. But in between them, he said he's the nicest guy ever. But he's like, hey, how many people have you killed since you got out? He's like, just 13. and he's like, what? And he goes, well, he goes, they knew I was going to kill him when I was locked up. He's like, I told them.
Right? He gave fair warning. You know, it's amazing. If you ever look at murder solving stats, like only like 10% of murders get solved. It's the craziest thing ever. Like, it really is pretty easy to get away with if it isn't someone you know. So I've heard.
Mm. That's in like America. It's even worse. And like you watch the one on, there was a documentary on Macho Camacho, and they talked about like in Puerto Rico, it's like 11, it's like 8% or something. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, in Mexico, it's 0%. Like, you can just kill whoever you want down there. Nothing happens.
Well, I heard Baroni's out. Someone said he's out, but I have no idea if he's out or not.
Really?
But someone said that they posted bail for $300,000. But yeah.
I bet he's on the border right now walking across and will never be seen again down there. He's going to be a refugee.
He might be the one person. Like, if he walks through, they might say, all right, time to put up a wall. Like, can you imagine, like, if Baroni comes, people might say, enough is enough. Yeah.
Dude, I had a friend that was stuck out of the country, lost his passport, and was like, I don't know what to do. I said, fly to Juarez and walk across in El Paso. What do you mean you don't know what to do? Like, you're going to get $3,000 or $4,000, like a bus or a flight, wherever you want to go. Like, I thought about going down there myself and just walking across just for the money. You know what I mean? Just for the $5,000. So,
dude, it's crazy because I do shows in El Paso, and it's so open. Like, every nightclub
is
from Juarez. Like, you don't – it's not even – And then we went to a strip club, and the girl was like, she goes, you want to have sex for $200? And I go, no, thanks. And she goes, you could bang me in the ass for 40. I was like,
seemed like that wouldn't be the discount.
I invited her to my show. She actually came to my show. She was actually pretty cool. Now she told me she's cleaning houses. Which I think is a much better job for her because she wasn't really.
I just have a business in El Paso, man. I spent a lot of time down there, and used like an idiot when I was young, walk across into Juarez at night, not scared. Like, it was now. I mean, it's a war zone down there now, man, and a major port of entry for the poor, suffering migrants. So,
I was reading the news today, and Tijuana is prostitutes everywhere, and San Diego coming over from Tijuana, right. And they walk. Yeah. And they walk into people's businesses and go, what are you looking at? They go, you can't look at me unless you buy something, which means unless you fuck me, you can't look at me. Like, they're like they're the stores.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's, huh. Dude, meanwhile, I did a show in Vegas one time, and a prostitute came. Me and my friend went to it. We went to the guys gave us tickets to the Green Door, which is like it's crazy. Like, it's a sex club. And people were just, there's like 15 people watching this couple, this guy just banging this girl in the ass while she's blowing some dude. And so and people are standing around, and I giggled. I go, and they kicked me out of the room. So then
I must take it serious down there. No fun, no laughing matter.
Yeah.
And then a prostitute, I invited her to my show. A prostitute, she came to my show, and I'm telling merch at the end. And I go, "Hey, did you have a good time?" She goes, "Your jokes were too dirty."
I was like, oh.
Wow. She gave me a whole bunch of notes from Last Comic Standing.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy what people are like offended by. That's why, like, Joey D, I know a comic that did a show on the nude cruise, and they complained he was too dirty, and they were all naked.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
everybody's offended about everything anymore, man. It's crazy.
And everything about the Richard Simmons cruise?
No.
No, did it start with Dominic?
So oh, the cruise director was a cruise?
Come on, man. That was
so they used to have like, that's good. I like that. I didn't even get that. I just thought because it was a gay joke.
It was, but he said his cruise was Dominic.
That was a double joke. So they used to do these chartered cruises where like they'd have bands like the New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys. So someone thought it was a good idea to have Richard Simmons, but only like 400 people showed up, right? So they sold the rest of the cruise to regular people. And didn't tell them it was Richard Simmons' cruise because people probably wouldn't have went, right? So, yeah. But my friend who was the cruise director said they were eating breakfast in the morning, and all of a sudden Richard Simmons starts jumping on the table and dancing, and all these fat people start getting up and dancing, and the rest of the crowd, which is like mostly black people, are like, "What the fuck is going on right now?" Like, like everyone's just confused.
Oh gosh, that's awesome.
Have you seen Paulie Shore, his short film where he plays Richard Simmons?
Yeah, it's actually the best thing Paulie's done in a while.
And it's still terrible.
Dude, Paulie does a really funny though, the Cat Williams impression. Like
really?
Where he does like him going off on comics, but like on like white comics that stole his joke. And they're all like, he's like, and fuck it. And then Tom Rhodes, and he brings people up that no one like that aren't like, you know, it's just people know Tom Rhodes, but not like they know like whoever, yeah. Like Kevin Hart or something. I gotta say that because me and Tom Rhodes just made up. We had an incident, and he happens to be a great guy. He gave me a big hug, so I was super happy about that.
yeah, what'd you fight about?
Well, this is my version of it, but I don't want to restart this. But basically, there was a guy named Tom Baum, a comedian named Tom Baum, who wanted to do my show, and I was like, "All right." And it was back at the Dime Bar when I was hosting it and running it, and I learned and there was like 9 people there, and no one was laughing, and Tom Rhodes came to see Tom Baum like as a friend, but I didn't know it was Tom Rob, and I'm hosting, and I'm like. So I'm like, "What are you doing?" I guess his ex-wife was there. And I was like, "Sir, what do you do?" And he's like, "Move on." But like, cause I think he wanted, I should have known or something. So I was like, sorry, big guy or something. And then I think I might've called him Hitler or something. And then he was like, I don't take I don't fuck with you. When put the dick out of your mouth, when you tell what it was like one of those things that got really awkward. And then he said something else. There was a big drunk Samoan guy that was like 400 pounds that turned around that was like, "You better respect the comedian." So it was like me. It just got ugly. And then I get off stage and everyone's like, "Dude, that was Tom Rhodes." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, it's like a kind of a legend. And I'm like, ah. So I go up.
I heard when the Samoan guy yelled at Tom Rhodes, said, "Go take a Richard Simmons cruise."
So I go up to him. I go, "Hey, man, I didn't know that was you." And then he goes, "Oh, you know, that's just, it's okay, man. Like, that's what you do." And I was like, "Do you want to go up?" He goes, "I would never." He goes, "Absolutely not. I'd never go up here." So it was just like, ugh. And then every gig I did he was there the next week. So, or the week before, so like I was in Mongolia and they're like, we're bringing another comic over. Tom Rose. Like, what? Fucking like China. But so then I was on a show with him recently and I just was like, yo man, hey, I'm sorry about what happened. Cause you know, even though I think that there, he could have just been like, hey man, it's me, Tom Rhodes. And I'm like, oh fuck. I would have been like, oh shit, my bad or whatever. Like he was in the mood. He was there to see somebody.
Yeah. He was in a bad mood, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'll take the higher ground here and just apologize to him. And then he gave me a huge hug and it was so nice. And we talked on Instagram. So I was like, man, that meant a lot. Cause
that's good.
Hopefully he doesn't see this and go, that's not what happened, motherfucker. And like, fucking whatever. You know? But, you know,
no,
it's just, I'm learning, especially in marriage, that like the best thing to do is just, you know, when someone yells at you, like when my wife yells at me, like my instinct is always to yell back and yell back louder.
And
that's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is just fucking take a deep breath and then just talk it out, you know? But that's
I mean, just always apologize too. It's just, who gives a shit whether you mean it or not? Just apologize. Just get out of the trouble.
No, I don't think you should always apologize, but I think sometimes it's better to be understood than to be right. I guess that's what people
for sure.
Say. And I'm learning that because I think maybe also my testosterone being 1040 didn't help either. And also I'm so fucking tired. Cause there was I yelled last week at her. Like she yelled at me first and I was like, I took the fucking dog out. And like and it was like, and then my daughter started crying and I'm like, ah, fuck, you know, last thing I want is for her to think that I'm, you know, so, and then I was like, hey, Violet, just so you know, me and your mommy made up, we got in an argument. I apologize. And she goes, I didn't hear you say you're sorry.
She kept you in check.
She gets me in check. Like I told you last week, like I was like, I had a date, not a date, but like a comic date. And I was talking on the phone and I was like, and the person's like, hey, can you make up this date? I'm like, yeah, we'll move that date to this, whatever. And then we hang up. And then Violet goes, wait, you're dating somebody? You're married.
Oh God.
You can't go on a date. And I was like, no, not that kind of date. Like,
and Adam said, if Brendan Schaub can do it, I can. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Brendan, yeah, dude. Schaub, I don't even know. I mean, look, man, Brendan Schaub, the first hour is always the easiest in comedy. Because it's the second hour.
Not when you're watching the Brendan Schaub special. It's not.
The second hour is the hardest. And if he, you know, when everyone sees your hour, to come up with a whole new shit, and only doing comedy for 3 years, whatever he's doing, like you have to get a team or hire people or whatever, or yada yada, because it takes years, man. A lot of people's first hour, it takes 10 years to get a good hour. And then your second hour is a lot of times based on shit that you didn't put in your first hour.
Yeah, that's like what filmmakers do. How much you want to bet
I could do one
in 10 days? What was that?
How much you want to bet I could have an awesome hour in 10 days written?
I would love to. I'll take that bet in a heartbeat, just because it'll get you up to do an hour.
I'm fairly certain I could get on stage and just make fun of people in the crowd for an entire hour. I think
that does not
but
count.
I could blank also.
It doesn't count as an hour.
So I got to tell. I'll just memorize my Facebook statuses for the last 12 years. Then.
Yeah. No. You. I 100% believe you could do it. But even now with like Russell Peters, like he does so much crowd work, Bill. Like.
Yeah,
he's the best crowd work I've ever seen, and he does it where like he has a huge screen, so anyone who he's making fun of, you see on the screen.
That's great.
That's a great idea.
And he's got three camera guys, and that's the only way to do it in a 5,000 to 7,000 seat theater. I mean, how else are you going to do
it? For sure.
But I don't do. But I'm not doing any crowd work in front of him because.
Of course.
Because it's just like I don't want him to have to go. What do you do? Oh, we've already talked to them. You know. So,
yeah, of course.
Which kind of sucks in a little way because, like, I like to do that shit, but I'm at the same time, I'm boo-hoo, you know?
Yeah, you're flying first class all over the fucking world,
dude,
making a shitload of money.
They have a shower in first class. You know that? I'm not kidding.
No, I didn't know that.
There's a shower. A fucking shower. Dude, I took the pajamas home with me. I have the nicest pajamas I've ever had now.
Dude, did it come with a cap, a sleeping cap, and everything?
Dude, what sucks now is that after this tour is over, I have to go back to the fucking, Hampton Inns and the high-end Motel Sixes and shit. So,
but that makes you appreciate the first class even more when you get it.
Oh, 100%. But that's also a lot of openers, a lot of people that open, they make the mistake of thinking that, like, oh, you know, they're all here for me. I'm like, no, dude, like, if I went to South Africa, yeah, I'm not selling out 6,000 seat theaters, you know, for the, you know, it's rough. It's rough. So
I thought the same thing when I fought in El Paso and they made me the main event and then they sold 16,000 tickets and they were only paying me $5,000. And I thought, that's odd that 16,000 people in El Paso would come watch me fight. I thought it was a really strange thing, man. Like, I was the main event and they were having an arena. I was like, you guys know, like, 500 people are going to be here, right? And they're like, no, we got a set, man. Like, and I don't know how they marketed it or what. They lost a fortune, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think they also love fights, though. They just love fights over there, man. Like,
yeah.
Especially with Mexicans. Mexicans love their sports, man. Like, if it wasn't for Mexicans, Dodger Stadium would be empty every night of the week.
Like, that's true.
There'd be no, the soccer team would be. The only sports that Mexicans, that white people, white seem to really appreciate are like basketball in LA are basketball games and football games. But even football games, it's like, I would say it's, 70% Mexican? What do you think?
Wow, I don't know.
But yeah.
70% seems pretty high.
Yeah. Dude, I went to
the Rams. It's 90% Mexican, though. It can't be that high.
I went to the Rams game. They were selling seats that you could stand. They have places you could stand at the whole game. Like, there are no seats.
What?
They have a standing. It's fucking, like, what?
Like the opposite of first class. It's
like, yeah.
Like, what are they? Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, what do you got coming up, Bill?
Well, I got that every Wednesday Laugh Factory show, and that's it for now.
And what do you got, Sean?
I got a load of puppies due any day, some revenge to continue to work on. So, real important things.
Nice. Well, I'll be in India, South Africa, and Egypt, and Saudi Arabia in the next 3 weeks. So if anybody is there.
Ironically, many people from all four of those places will be arriving here shortly in the matter of the next couple weeks too.
Ah, funny.
Meanwhile, I'm going to be in Saudi Arabia the same day. It's Bellator versus PFL. The same day in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow. Are you able to watch it?
Yeah. But isn't that crazy? I'm going to hang out with like Chael and Randy in Saudi Arabia.
That's beautiful. I love that.
But like, I don't hang out with them in the U.S. We're hanging out in Saudi. That's like,
ask Chael how Randy how they got their testosterone in Saudi Arabia, and you can just do it next time because I guarantee you they didn't go without it.
Yeah,
I know. Well, yeah, next time. Never 100%. Anyway, you guys are the best. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, man.